The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with Laker losses, and I mean bad. LeBron and company trounced by their crosstown rivals. We'll tell you the radical move the Lakers should consider with the King. And waiting game. Aaron Rodgers isn't saying publicly whether he's staying or going, but what message should he be sending privately to the Packers? And expect emotions to flow tomorrow at Duke. What will move Coach K most in his final home game? We'll ask the man who's succeeding him as Get Up starts right now. And thank you so much for joining us here on Get Up. I'm Ryan Smith in for Greeny. Got a lot of football to get to today, and our guys are raring to go. Dan Graziano, Mike Tannenbaum, RC Ryan Clark, all there at the Combine. Sam Acho in his man cave at home. Everybody getting ready to go. We'll head their way in a minute. But first, let's start with the NBA and the loss of the night. And this one was not good for LeBron and the Lakers. Taking on the Clippers. There's LeBron getting ready for this one. Second quarter, 43 seconds left. Lakers down 8. LeBron driving, gets it in. The bounce goes his way and gets the foul. So, up down 5 after the free throws. Next Clippers possession, you see it right there. Austin Reeves gets the steal. The lob, Malik Monk with the slam. The ridiculous finish. Lakers looking good a little bit early on. 14-0 run to cut the lead to 3 at the half, but it wouldn't go so well in the second half because this kind of stuff happened. Russell Westbrook getting blocked by Zubats. Clippers get the ball back. Nicholas Batum in the corner for 3, and good. Clippers on a 5-0 run. Middle of the third quarter. Run at 12-0 for the Clippers. Westbrook has the pass taken away. Reggie Jackson's going to come up with it and put it in. 14-0 run for the Clippers. Frank Vogel not liking this. It goes to 21-0. And then LeBron trying to find Westbrook, not making it happen. Jackson gets it back and easily makes his way to the basket. A 23-0 run in the third quarter. Jackson had 36 points in this one, and the Clippers won it 132-111.
Everything's the opposite of what you envisioned. Has that been hard for you, especially considering your stature, your credentials to absorb?
What did I envision?
I suppose I would imagine some wins.
I mean, you said based on what I envisioned, I want to know what you think I envisioned.
You envisioned coming here and winning a championship, or at least being.
Is the season over?
It certainly isn't on.
Is the season over?
No, sir.
Thank you. I had no expectations. The last 4 years of me, I've been on different teams 4 times, so my envision of kind of. Think everything gonna be peaches and cream? I don't. That's not realistic. That's not life.
No expectations. I mean, we would think he would have to at least have playoff expectations. The season is not over, as he said, but the outlook is pretty dire at this point. Currently 2 games away from missing the play-in entirely. Our own BPI currently has the Lakers with a 65% chance to make the play-in tournament, but the road to get there is going to be tough, as BPI only has them favored in 3 of their final 20 games. Big Perk Zach Lowe joining us now to talk about the Lakers. And yeah, Zach, I said the same thing. I look at this situation, and now I feel like we have to ask ourselves, Zach, could the Lakers at this point miss the play-in tournament?
Let's not mince words. If that were to happen, these Lakers would be the most disappointing, overhyped single-season team in NBA history. Even the Steve Nash, Kobe, Dwight Powell Lakers made the playoffs when you had to get in the top 8 to make the playoffs. The Lakers' saving grace is that the team that they're 2 games ahead of in 11th, Portland, has thrown in the towel on the season. But that even won't matter if the Lakers can't win games. Look, I think they're still going to make it. They still have LeBron. AD is coming back. But I'll tell you this. If they lose to the Spurs, who are 12th, if they lose to the Spurs on Monday, the Spurs have a chance to win the tiebreaker from the Lakers. Things get a little bit dicey. But boy, oh boy, I can't believe we're having this conversation.
Never did you think you'd see standings like that at this point for the Lakers. Perk, I come to you. What would you do with LeBron for the rest of the season, given the situation they're in right now?
Well, Ryan, I said it last night. I would shut LeBron James down. Listen, the Lakers are not going anywhere. And when you look at their remaining schedule in the month of March, It's only one team I see them beating, and that's the Houston Rockets. LeBron James is not fully healthy, so why even waste time? Why even put all that workload on this old veteran senior citizen guy that you're going to need next year? So at the end of the day, when I'm looking at the Lakers right now, they forgot how to win games. They don't know how to handle adversity. Guys are just all over the place, and I don't see them winning but one game in a month for the rest of this month, and that's against the Houston Rockets. So why not shut down LeBron James? We don't know when Anthony Davis is going to come back, if he's going to come back. And so I'm looking at their roster. You're dependent on Stanley Johnson. You're dependent on an undrafted rookie in Austin Reeves to take you through right now. There's no reason to even have LeBron James on the floor. Plus, he's banged up.
Shutting down LeBron. Again, did we think we would ever be at this point talking about that at this point in the season with the playoffs right around the corner, at least not far off? All right, guys, let's go to another game. Big one last night because it involved a big return. There he is, KD coming back. Nets hosting the Heat. There he is, the man returns back against a vulnerable Miami team. No Jimmy Butler, no PJ Tucker, no Kyle Lowry. Would there be problems? There'd be a problem with that. KD sinking the pull-up, his first bucket back. Brooklyn led by 12 after one. And then second quarter, Durant brings up the ball, makes it look easy. The deep three. 17 points in the first half back. Boy, was he looking good. But then the fourth quarter, Miami's up. Tyler Hero off the screen to BAM! The slam dunk, slams it home. Great finish by Adebayo. Miami up six after the free throw. 7 minutes left, still a six-point game. Hero pushing it in transition and getting it to go. 27 points Hero had in this one. KD not liking it. 3 minutes to play, trying to bring him back. He drives, loses the defender, and gets the roll. KD had 31 in this one, but it wouldn't be enough. Heat lead by two, under a minute to play, and there it is. Adebayo getting the bucket to fall. He had 30 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists as Miami spoils Durant's return, 113 to 107. So, guys, look, the Nets aren't looking that good either. We thought KD comes back, they would turn it around. But in this game, he was not enough without Miami's best guys. So, Big Perk, I start with you. How far can this team go in the playoffs right now?
Oh, their first-round exit. Look, right now, the Brooklyn Nets are swimming in dangerous waters. That was a horrible loss last night. A must-win situation, and you lose to a Miami Heat team that didn't have no Jimmy Butler, no PJ Tucker, and no Kyle Lowry. Here's the thing about the Nets. The season, they have less than 20 games in the season. No Ben Simmons. Where's the chemistry going to come? And if you look at all the teams in the top of the East right now, Philly is no joke. Milwaukee is no joke. The Heat, who they lost to last night, is not no joke. And even the Boston Celtics right now are playing beautiful basketball. And again, I told Zach Lowe this last week. They don't want to get in the play-in tournament and play a team like the Atlanta Hawks that have a superstar caliber player in Trae Young that could actually take over a game and send them home. Or they don't want to play against the Charlotte Hornets, who have a team full of young studs who's not afraid of anybody. So right now, the Brooklyn Nets are basically in the same position as the Los Angeles Lakers. And if they don't get it together, they might not make the playoffs and be an early round exit in the play-in tournament.
Wow, imagine that. And again, look at the ESPN BPI, 37% chance to make the playoffs for the Nets right now. So, Zach, can this team make a run? Because Perk was talking about chemistry. Can they make a run if their big three get little or no playing time this regular season?
I keep getting this question, and I said this last week. I feel like I'm in the twilight zone. Can the Nets make a run? How about can the Nets win a game? They're 500. They're four games out of the seventh seed. Durant just came back. Ben Simmons isn't back yet. Kyrie can't play home games. Right now, they're clinging to eighth. You know what happens if they fall to ninth? It's one and done in the play-in tournament. As it is, you know who they're playing in the first game of the play-in tournament? Toronto, in Toronto. Guess who can't play in that game because it's in Canada? Kyrie Irving. So, yes, theoretically. Oh, by the way, Joe Harris is out for the season. We haven't even talked about that yet. So, yes, theoretically, the Nets are a really good team, really dangerous, good enough to push the Bucks, the Heat, the Sixers in the first round. But theoretically, it doesn't win you any games. You actually have to have a team that wins games, and we keep having this conversation, and the Nets keep losing, and the situation gets more dire. So I need to see them, like, just hold on to eighth before we have any conversation about can they make a run.
Wow. How many people picked the Lakers and Nets to go to the title game? Go ahead, Perk.
Hey, you see, Zach got his, he went to his go-to move. He got his little Boosie fade today.
You look good, though. You look good. And by the way, before we go, Perk,
little Boosie fade.
Perk, what is that? What does that jacket say? Let's see that T-shirt. What does that T-shirt say?
Mr. Carry On.
There you have it. Nice fade, nice shirt. I like how we're getting started. Fellas, thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right, let's turn to the NFL because TikTok, we are waiting for the decision of Aaron Rodgers. The Packers just 4 days away from the NFL franchise tag deadline and must also decide on the future of their star wide receiver, Davante Adams. Now, March 8th is the deadline when the tag window closes. So this thing is getting closer and closer. So let's bring in our team to talk this one over because it's getting really tight. You see it right there. And you wonder what's going to be the decision here. Mike T, I'll start with you. The Packers need to make a franchise decision, franchise tag decision in 4 days. I want to take this from a different angle because I know we've been talking a lot about what the Packers need to be saying to Aaron Rodgers. What should Aaron Rodgers be saying to the Packers right now?
I'm back, and I'm going to go last. And the more of the salary cap pie I take, the less of my teammates that are going to be there. So I want you to franchise Davante Adams, hopefully get a long-term deal done. I want you to re-sign Devondre Campbell, a really good player. I want to make sure that Za'Darius Smith is back, Preston Smith is back, Billy Turner, Randall Cobb. And this year, 2022, we're going to run it back. It could be the last dance. So this is about my legacy. So, guys, get all that work done. I'm back, and what's ever left over, I will take. And that's the exact play that Tom Brady ran in Tampa Bay, and the rest is history. So the blueprint is right there. I'm in. Go do your work, and I'll take all the leftovers.
I'm going last in my money. RC, would you go last in your money?
Hell no. Why would I? Hell no, Ryan. Why would I ever go last in my money? Listen, everybody points to Tom Brady and what he did in New England, what he did in taking or accepting a deal in Tampa Bay. Not many quarterbacks do that. Like, we don't have – like, that is not the blueprint. That's the anomaly. That's the outlier. And so Aaron Rodgers has already said he wants to be the highest-paid quarterback in the entire league. He wants to be the highest-paid player. Yes, you should sign Davante Adams. Yes, you should try to get Za'Darius Smith back. Devondre Campbell was absolutely a phenomenal last year. But even in that, Aaron Rodgers understands he's the two-time reigning MVP. And when you can do those things, when you can carry a team in that way, you want to be paid in that way. Aaron Rodgers has never shown us anything but that he understands his value, and that's why he did what he did last year, and also why he has the team held over a barrel this year. Aaron Rodgers has all the cards in his hand, and he's going to play them as he feels.
So, Sam Acho, how do you balance it then? You got to do that. You got to figure out something with Adams. You got to figure out something with a whole bunch of other guys, but Aaron Rodgers has to make his money.
There really is no balance. It's Aaron Rodgers or nothing, in my opinion. You could have all those other pieces and not have Aaron Rodgers. You're not going to be a winning or successful Super Bowl caliber football team. That's how important Aaron Rodgers is to this team. Here's the flip side, though. I think that Aaron Rodgers cares about his teammates. I think he cares about Davante Adams. I think he cares about some of these guys on his team that he plays with. And so I think he's actually probably working towards making sure those guys get taken care of as he gets taken care of as well.
Okay, so Dan, what do you say to this? The idea that Aaron Rodgers is going to have to sit back and think about his money and maybe how he takes a little less to make it all happen.
I say Mike Tannenbaum is once a GM, always a GM.
Amen.
I always wondered, what does this sound like when the guy sits there
about
with a straight face across from the player and says, the best thing for you would be to take less money? And he's good. He's very good. I was almost convinced, but I don't think it's going to happen. I'll say this. To Sacho's point, right, Rodgers comes out on McAfee's show last week, and he says about Davante Adams, you know, hey, there's a franchise tag deadline. It would obviously be better if a deal got done. He is stumping for his guy to get a deal. But I don't think it goes to the point where he says, yeah, I'll come back and play for nothing because I want to win a championship that badly. Look, it's not the player's job to help the team manage its salary cap. That's the GM's job. And I think they'll be able to figure out something with Aaron Rodgers if he decides to come back. That'll probably cost them a piece or two on defense, but that's where, if you're the Packers, you rely on your ability to draft and develop younger, cheaper guys.
All right, one way or another, they got to figure this out, guys. We're going to come back to this a little later. But coming up, the Giants' new GM, he had a lot to say this week. He said, we're open for business. What does that mean for Saquon Barkley? Why the G-men should think long and hard about possibly dealing him. And then there are many teams around the NFL who have playoff-ready rosters, except at the most important position. We'll play Who Needs a Quarterback all morning. You're watching Get Up.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by Lexus. Experience amazing. Well, let's get back to football, specifically the New York Giants. This week, there's been a lot of talk about New York potentially trading star running back Saquon Barkley as they look to rebuild. Now, on Wednesday, their GM, Joe Shane, was asked about it, and listen to what he had to say.
I'm open to everything. Like, whether it's, you know, again, trading player for player, you know, I'll listen to anybody if it's trading, you know, a couple players. You know, I'm not going to say the entire roster, you know, we're open for business on the entire roster. But if anybody's going to call and they're interested in any of our players, I'll certainly listen.
Okay, so he's open. I guess you have to be. But still, we're talking about Saquon Barkley. Sam Acho, I start with you. Do the Giants need to trade Saquon?
I don't think the Giants need to trade Saquon Barkley. I think Saquon Barkley, when he's healthy, is obviously one of the best running backs in the entire NFL. Now, the issue is when he's healthy, the last couple of years, he's missed a lot of time. But if that's the case, if you have a running back who's been injured and the market for him is low, why trade him for nothing when you can keep him, get him rehabbed, get him right with this new offensive mind in Brian Daboll, and now you have a little bit of pressure that's taken off of Daniel Jones. So for me, if I'm the Giants, I'm not getting a lot. I am keeping Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, you make another good point. Not only does he have the potential, but you look at the injuries right there. Ankle in 2019, the ACL in 2020, ankle again in 2021. Dan Graziano, I wonder if you did trade him, what could you even get for him at this point, considering his contract and his injury history?
Yeah, I don't think much. I mean, look, this is a story that kind of broke as people were arriving here this week. So it's been a topic of conversation. Hey, what do you think they could get for Saquon Barkley? And not hearing very much. Look, this is a player who's scheduled to make $7.2 million this year in a league that doesn't like to pay running backs, and he has not been consistently healthy. So I don't think there are a whole bunch of teams out there willing to line up and give the Giants something good for Saquon Barkley. I'd be surprised if they could do any better than a fourth-round pick, and if that's the case, Sacho's absolutely correct. Might as well keep him, and maybe this is the year that it pops.
Yeah, and Mike, what team do you think would be on the phone with New York right now? Even if this was a consideration, who do you think makes that play, and what do you think they get for him?
The Buffalo Bills, you know, they're in a one-player away mode. You know, we heard them possibly being linked to Rob Gronkowski, but could you imagine a healthy Saquon Barkley with Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen? Boy, that would be a really hard offense to stop. And I understand what Dan's saying. I think maybe they could get a little bit more, maybe a third. Best case scenario, maybe the bottom of the second. But here's the problem. He only has 1 year to go. So a team that's going to acquire Saquon Barkley would try to extend him in addition to giving up a draft choice, which is always a possibility this time of the year. But I also think that the Giants would be well suited to hold on to a young dynamic player, and hopefully he's a big part of their future. But the one team that lines up perfectly is the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, but even if they did get him, like you say, they'd be betting on his upside, and the last thing you want to do is get him and then lose him. But RC, you know, I look at Saquon Barkley, and I think the reason why everybody thinks this is big news is because it's Saquon Barkley, right? It's Saquon Barkley. So how good is he in your mind at this point?
Well, he's obviously extremely talented running back, but here's what happened. When the guy goes number two overall, and we remember what he was at Penn State or what he was his rookie season, he has to prove to us that he can no longer play, whether it's the injuries, whether it's the lack of production or a bad offensive line. People are going to consistently give Saquon Barkley's excuses why he's not doing what they expect him to do. And so if you're the Buffalo Bills or if you're a team that feels like you're one explosive player away from winning a Super Bowl, you're going to talk to the New York Giants about making a trade. What will it take to get Saquon Barkley on our team? But if you're the New York Giants, at least in my opinion, you run it back for one more year. You see if he's healthy. You see if you can see the explosion and the impressive play that you saw from his rookie season this year.
You know, I know more than a few Giant fans who, as frustrated as they are with Saquon Barkley, if they traded him away and he did well, they would never get over it. Never. So we'll see what happens with Saquon.
They never recover, now, bro.
Exactly. Never. Not ever. Not ever. Well, he is still the best shooter in the NBA, which makes what Steph Curry didn't do last night so confusing. We'll explain that when we come back on Get Up.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Take a look at this lineup we have for you on Saturday. The Blackhawks square off against the Flyers, 3 Eastern on ABC. North Carolina and Duke are on ESPN. The Warriors take on the Lakers on ABC. And then the main card at UFC 272 from Las Vegas starts at 10 Eastern on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. That's Saturday. And that's looking like a great Saturday. And by the way, a lot of teams very needy. Who needs a quarterback? Quarterback always the center of the talk in the NFL. So let's play that game. Who needs a quarterback? Mike T, who should the Browns be looking for a quarterback?
Absolutely. They need to draft a guy, hopefully somebody that could replace Baker Mayfield in a year. Because, Ryan, they have, at best, the third best quarterback in the division. And that's assuming that Pittsburgh doesn't do anything, which we know they will. So Baker Mayfield is good. Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow are great.
All right, Graz, should the Colts be looking for a quarterback?
I say yes, Ryan. Look, I think we've seen the most they're going to be able to do with Carson Wentz. I know the Colts do not want to start a fifth different quarterback in 5 years. That's not where you want to be as a franchise, but this is a franchise that has a lot of good pieces on its roster and very high hopes, and I do think they need to be on the lookout for someone who can elevate them beyond where Carson Wentz was able to get them this year.
Once again, the Colts in a tough spot. Acho, should the Dolphins be in the market for a quarterback?
No, they should not, because they have their coach. Mike McDaniel is going to bring the best out of not only Tua, but this entire offense. Everywhere that Kyle Shanahan went, Kyle Shanahan's brilliance we talk about, Mike McDaniel was there. Now Mike McDaniel's taking some of that brilliance and his brilliance and what he learned from Shanahan over to Miami and over to Tua. And so, no, this is your time to show the kind of coach that you are. Coach Tua, make him better.
Okay, they're looking for a turnaround there in Miami, especially see what they can get from Tua. Now, Mike T.,
I want to outline this in terms of who needs a quarterback. Just how many teams should be looking for a quarterback this offseason?
You know, it's a minimum of 12, Ryan. It's up to 16 when we start talking about teams that have need upgrades or uncertainty. And when you talk to people in and around the combine, the biggest story by far is there's just not enough quarterbacks. And when we're sitting here in 2 weeks and we can't believe what Mitch Trubisky gets, it's all because the supply and demand, and this graphic really shows it. So the draft may or may not have some answers. I think Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis are first-rounders. Beyond that, there's a lot more questions than answers. And with all those teams needing quarterbacks, guys like Jameis Winston and Mitch Trubisky are going to do really, really well here in a couple weeks.
Yep. Front offices are really going to have to do their work. More than half the league needing a quarterback in some way or even an upgrade, and not a lot of quarterbacks in this draft class are seen as top-tier talent. So, Graz, what quarterbacks have been the buzz during the combine week?
Oh, I mean, look, the draft is an interesting one, but I don't think anybody sees their 2022 week one starter here. You might take one of those guys that Mike mentioned as a project and hope it pans out. Willis is a guy people see a lot of high-end potential in. But look, I mean, you know, I think Mike mentioned it yesterday. Mitch Trubisky is a name, right? This is teams are interested, right? He went to Buffalo and served a year as Josh Allen's backup with Ryan Daboll and Ken Dorsey coaching him there, and I think people think highly of his ability and the effect that had on him. So throw his name in the mix along with the other free agents like, you know, Jameis Winston and guys who have done it before at a higher level maybe. But, you know, if Aaron Rodgers stays in Green Bay and Russell Wilson stays in Seattle and Jimmy Garoppolo's having shoulder surgery next week, you know, it starts to dry up a little bit quickly. Don't be surprised if Trubisky ends up somewhere with a real chance to start for somebody at quarterback next year.
Trubisky, like Winston, two guys who people thought might be done, now they could be in for a payday. Sam Acho, you said something really interesting when we had our morning meeting. You talked about how teams, given the need for quarterbacks, you talked about how teams really need to change their approach in order to win. Talk about that.
Well, really just what I've seen the last couple of years, I've seen that the NFL has changed to obviously a quarterback-centric and offensive-centric league. The rules have changed. You can no longer go low on a quarterback. You can't go high on a quarterback. When I was playing a couple of years ago, we always talked about the strike zone, the very middle. You can't, as a defender, you can't touch an offensive guy past 5 yards. And so teams have started to change accordingly. You saw Tampa Bay go and get Tom Brady and win a Super Bowl 2 years ago. We saw just this past season, we saw the L.A. Rams go and get Matthew Stafford and win a Super Bowl. So for me, what teams are going to have to start doing is going to have to start poaching these great quarterbacks if they want to go and win because of the way that the league has changed over these last few years.
So RC, I look at this list and my head spins. If I'm a team on this list, do I have a legitimate shot at the Super Bowl if I don't have a top-tier quarterback or a quarterback that's really, let's say, in the top 10?
Well, I think it's difficult to win Super Bowls without quarterbacks that are in the top 10. We've seen Joe Flacco do it. And in past years, we've seen guys like Nick Foles. But those are anomalies. Those are outliers. You need a quarterback that you can count on. You need a quarterback that's consistent. And no, you don't need an elite quarterback. You don't necessarily have to have a Hall of Fame guy. But you do have to have a quarterback that can step up in the big moments. A quarterback that understands situational football. And a quarterback that, when everything is on the line, he's going to be a guy that is fearless in his way to attack defenses and score points. When you listen to Mike T talk about what Tom Brady was able to do in Tampa Bay or Matthew Stafford was able to do in Los Angeles, it wasn't about what they did for four quarters. It was about what they did in critical football situational moments. When you look at Matthew Stafford, he wasn't great in the Super Bowl, but he was great when he needed to be. And so guys like Mitchell Trubisky, guys like Jameis Winston, if they are going to become quarterbacks of new teams, that is where they have to hone in. That is where they have to be impressive. And I think when we start talking about Mitchell Trubisky as a hot free agent or as a starter for the 2022 season, it lets you know how many teams are quarterback hungry. And it also says a lot about this draft that Mitchell Trubisky will be the hottest name in March and not a guy like Kenny Pickett.
Wow. Mitchell Trubisky could be the hottest quarterback on the market. Everyone watching, let that sink in. because that's real. Guys, we'll come back to this in just a little bit. But first, let's go to the NBA, run the floor a little bit. We start with KD. He made his return from a knee injury last night versus the Heat. He had 31 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists over 35 minutes in his return from a 21-game absence. But the Heat won 113-107, despite being without Jimmy Butler, Kyle Lowry, and PJ Tucker. And boy, did it get bad for the Lakers. They have yet to win a game since the All-Star break and have lost 7 of their last 8, including last night to the Clippers. The Lakers were outscored 40-18 in the third quarter. The Lakers are 27-35 on the season and only favored to win 3 games for the rest of the season. And the Lakers next face the Warriors, and they were another team struggling in the West. The Warriors lost to the Mavs, 122-113. The Mavs were led by Luka Doncic, who scored 41 points. The Warriors fall to 43-20 on the season. Now, we mentioned it earlier, the Lakers have yet to win a game since the All-Star break, but that's them. Look at Steph Curry right here. Look at him in the fourth quarter. 12 minutes played, no points, no shot attempts. That is not what you expect to see out of Steph Curry in a game like that, especially against the Mavericks, who they could legitimately possibly face in the playoffs. So we bring now in Zach Lowe, because Zach, we got to talk about Steph Curry. What do you think happened with him last night? Didn't take a shot in the fourth quarter and played all 12 minutes.
First of all, credit to Dallas defense that has been a top three defense for the last 30 or 35 games. That's a really good team. But look, the Warriors and Stephen Curry miss Draymond Green. He's basically their point guard, point forward, point center. He's the guy that gets them out in transition and gets Steph catch and shoot looks. He's the guy that if you double Steph in the pick and roll, which, by the way, everyone's going to do that right now, he's the release valve that can get the ball popping so that it goes back to Steph at the end of the possession. So they really miss their best passer, their best facilitator, really their second most important player by a long shot. I'm not going to worry too much about the Warriors losing any games until we see the fully healthy Draymond Green back. Is it weird that Steph Curry could get 0 shots in a close fourth quarter? It is weird, but that's life.
Yeah, I guess. It's the second time in his career he played a full quarter with 0 points and shot attempts, and the first time it happened in the final quarter. So you mentioned you're not that worried about the Warriors, but this is a Warriors team that wants to win it all. How do you feel about their chances to win it all at this point?
I still think they're pretty damn good. Look, I think one of the big stories is you hit on it. They are in danger now of falling to that fourth seed in the West. The Grizzlies have a much easier schedule than they do. Utah's surging. They don't want that that Golden State Phoenix series in the second round. I don't know that you want that, so I'm interested to see how this all shakes out seeding-wise. But look, again, if they're fully healthy, they've been the best defense in the league the entire year. People just don't understand how important Draymond Green is to their offense as well as their defense. So I'm not worrying until I see what Draymond looks like when he comes back. And if he does come back, and if he is healthy, they're right there with the Suns in the Western Conference in the NBA championship race. They have a style of play that is really unique in the NBA and hard to deal with.
And look at this, by the way. Just hold that graphic up again. You saw the difference in their defense, just like you were saying. The difference in their defense, 100 points a game with them, allowing 109 without them. And the record certainly is very different. So you're saying Draymond Green in many ways is the key. Why do you think in so many ways we don't see him in that way? He seems to be undervalued. But for this team, he seems in many ways, Zach, to be the key cog.
Well, I think people who know the game don't undervalue Draymond, but if you just look at points per game, he's basically a single-digit scorer every year in his career except a couple of his biggest years. And if you're team points, if you're yay points, you're just not going to see the impact of the game. But offensively, he's just a genius passer. He's a basketball savant. He sees the floor from one step ahead of everybody else. And you combine that with the two greatest shooters in NBA history and the greatest off-ball mover, Steph Curry, in NBA history, and you have this perfect synergy, perfect chemistry. Look, what Draymond and Steph have, it's why we watch sports. It's why we play sports. It's magic to see two star players whose skills blend that well get to play together for a decade, to learn each other to the point that they don't even have to talk to each other to make reads on the floor. That's why we watch sports. So, yeah, his value is never going to show up in points per game, but he's a genius basketball player, and if you watch the game, you know.
I couldn't agree more. I remember just about a month ago, everybody was talking about with Ben Simmons and others, hey, maybe they should trade Draymond for him. But now you see the value that he brings to a team like the Warriors. Great job, Zach. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Now our NBA Friday doubleheader is tipping off this weekend. Two of the top teams in the East square off in our first game at 7:30. Bucks taking on the Bulls. Then the Suns host the Knicks. Our coverage starts with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. Well, coming up tomorrow night is going to be the last time Mike Krzyzewski leads Duke at Cameron Indoor Stadium. What will move him most? We'll ask the man who will succeed the legend next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back with you on Get Up. How about we talk a little MMA, because we have a huge event coming up this Saturday. UFC 272. The main event, of course, is the welterweight bout between Colby Covington and Jorge Masvidal. And this one is the ultimate grudge match. Let me tell you, joining us now is one of the hosts of DC and RC, the MMA show on ESPN+, Ryan Clark. And RC, I'm so glad to have you here, because we talk about grudge match. These guys, are they used to be friends, now they're enemies. What are your expectations for this fight?
My expectations are explosion. When you look at Jorge Masvidal and Colby Covington, we're talking about two of the best welterweights in the world. And I think people kind of forget that, because they've both lost to Kamaru Usman two times. But these are dudes who were training partners, who were friends, who have actual bad blood. And they want to end the other's career. Not just beat them in the octagon, but not allow them to fight going forward. And so Colby Covington thinks this is the last big fight for Jorge Masvidal. Jorge Masvidal thinks that Covington is going to be carried out on a stretcher from the octagon on fight night. And this is what the UFC fans love. I'm a UFC fan. I love to see two dudes who want nothing more than to end the other's career by totally dominating them inside the octagon. And so this fight is going to be a true matchup of stylistic styles or technicalities. And Colby Covington is going to try to pressure him. He's going to try to overwhelm him with cardio and with takedowns. And Jorge Masvidal is going to continue to look for that one shot that puts Colby Covington out. We will all be tuned in. Ryan Smith, you better tune in. The same way you were doing shows about people who were vanishing, I need you to be watching the UFC this weekend.
Because one of these guys' careers may vanish after this one. That's the big thing. Now, here's the other thing.
Absolutely.
Now, I look at this fight, and I look at these two as so close in terms of who could win this one. Who do you think has the edge?
I think Colby Covington has the edge, because Colby Covington is a more well-rounded fighter. He's a guy with a wrestling background. We've seen him take down guys like Tyron Woodley, crack ribs, find ways to get submissions. Jorge Masvidal is kind of a one-trick pony. He's a guy that has great stand-up. He's extremely explosive. He has one-punch power in his knockout ability, but the Colby Covington of it all, and the way that he approaches each and every fight is, I'm going to pressure you. I'm going to continue to keep you on your heels. And if you allow me to take you down, I have great grappling, wrestling, and submission skills. Jorge Masvidal, to me, has to strike extremely early. If he gets in early, if he gets an explosive punch, and he can maybe put Colby Covington out that way. I believe if this fight goes to fourth round, fifth round, that is truly in Colby Covington's advantage.
It's going to be a good one. Cannot wait to see it, RC. And by the way, before you go, something else I couldn't wait to see, so they told me they were putting it on camera. Let's take a look at this. A little bit of eye candy featuring you. Can we put it up? Here we go. Look.
What are we going to do?
RC, getting in it. Before the show, dancing. This is you.
Wait.
This is how you get warmed up.
Hey, bro. I didn't know they were... I didn't know they recorded doing commercials. I was just having a good time, bro, trying to get in the flow of it. You know what I'm saying? Ryan Smith, we are at the Combine. We got UFC this weekend. Why would we not be happy? We are doing a job that is not very dang hard. We get to be on TV. We get to be dressed up. We get to get fire haircuts, and they pay us well to do it. So why would I not be dancing to a little Chance the Rapper?
That's right. That's right. It looks good, too, man. Look at you. This is how you get warmed up. Next time you're in the studio, I want loud music playing before the show. We will record you every single time, my friend. Every time.
Hey, man, I got you, bro. Hey, they call me, listen, they call me DJ Rumpelstiltskin. All I do is spin gold.
Oh, my God. All right. Green Bay waits for word on Aaron Rodgers on his future. What does the team look like when he leaves? Why Packers fans might not like that answer. And when we come back, this man will join us. Starting next year, he will be the coach at Duke, John Shire, here to talk about Coach K's last home game at Cameron Indoor. We'll be right back.